So where did he get on your own?
We got the bag of gummies. Can we have gummies?
On the internet.
I'm changing some of
it. Yeah. No, you're putting it on the internet.
Shannon, you are being recorded, Shannon.
Chuck, why'd you say that?
Well, it is time to start, let's just get into this real quick. I don't know if you guys heard about it, but I've got some great news for everyone here. I got these new shoes. Half off. Fantastic news. 50% off. It's like I bought one shoe and they gave me a whole other shoe to go with it for free. It's fantastic news. And I think we're going to be talking about good news for gospel or something this month. And I thought about the good news that we have in our life, the good news that we share in our life. Some of the most mundane and irrelevant facts of our life that we share with other people. We share a good deal on a pair of shoes, but it's not real. It's not like the other person that I'm telling this to are going to wear my shoes. It's not like the deal is perhaps even going on, so they can't take advantage of the deal. It's really irrelevant to their life, and yet, at times, we share these messages because we think that they might be interested in it. Somehow, for some reason, I don't know why, and I'm just using that as an example. There are millions of other examples that we could talk about. Did you hear about? Did you know this? I'm going to go here. Did you hear about the time that I did this thing? Right? We tell about these things, and many of them, in many ways, are irrelevant. But I actually do have good news for you. I have great news for you, fantastic news for you. And you're probably thinking he's going to say the gospel now. I'm not going to say the gospel now. I'm actually going to say this is going to be a little bit of a two-way conversation this morning, that you're not going to have to hear me speak all by myself. So I want some participation, if that's at all possible. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the good news. And the question is for today, is what is the gospel? What is it? And that's not a rhetorical question, that's an actual question. Because in one way it seems so easy, and in many other ways it seems it's quite large. So maybe I'll go with youngest to oldest. Anybody want to volunteer? I'm going to look at the kids first. What is the gospel? Josh, I'm looking at you. I'm looking right at you, Josh. The good news, okay, of what? What? Anybody want to help them?
Of Jesus Christ.
All right, of Jesus. What about Jesus? What? Oh, yes, sir.
The story of Jesus.
The story of Jesus. Great. What else? What is the gospel? We should all know that. Oh, yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 15 pretty much nails it for me. It says, by this gospel you're saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to others. That's it.
Yeah. That's it. And yet, there's so much more, right? And you get these summaries in different sections, right? In different epistles, Certainly in the Gospels, you would get an understanding of what the Gospel is. And then you have in the Old Testament, you get a picture of what's to come. But really, it's about Jesus as well. That's a great passage. And so today what I want to do is go through and talk about the Gospel. And you think about the Gospel, it wasn't just Jesus came and the Old Testament is irrelevant. And that's the amazing thing. I feel like I've spent a lot of my life not getting it, not understanding it. And you guys might all still be thinking, well, he still doesn't get it. He still doesn't understand it. And that's true too. But I can tell you that I do understand it better than I used to. Although my it's constantly kind of trying to put this together. What is this big picture? And when you think about the fact that going back to Genesis, in the very beginning, in the first few chapters, you're seeing it's this message of redemption, of there is a plan out there that is going to come about. And then you see, I'm thinking about Adam and Eve in particular, after they've sinned. And the reference of, he is going to bruise his heel and essentially destroying Satan. And so we see from that very moment that it's still about, it's about Jesus. And then you go forward and you think about Abraham, right? And there's the promise of people and land, and then there's the third, that all of these nations would be blessed through his lineage, and it's about Jesus. And then you can go forward through time and see where God is operating in a way in which to bring about certain things and make them happen, and you can follow that all the way through the Old Testament, and you certainly can look at the prophets and look at Isaiah and see that he's talking about Jesus in so many ways and really with a lot of detail of this is what's going to happen, and it's quite amazing. And then you get to the Gospels, and they're about the Gospel. They're about the good news that Jesus came to this earth and lived among men. He lived as both a man, but he was God at the same time. And he was perfect. And he willingly died for us because he was doing the will of the Father. And he was raised the third day after dying and overcame death. And through him, through that sacrifice, we all can be God's people. So let's go through and read just, what is the Gospel? And in many ways, I can't cover everything today, but what I do want to do is cover a number of points, and maybe if I can read fast and get to the end, we'll pause just for a moment to see what I missed out, right? See what you guys are thinking as far as what big points did I leave out, or what relevant verses should I have included? I apologize. I am going to have to jump around in many ways, but certainly I think there's so many passages. So hopefully I can do this justice in just a few minutes. Romans 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And I think that it's not just a message, but there's power in what the in how that message was brought about. There's power in what it says, and that power behind all of it is God. And we think about the gospel. I think one of the common phrases, when somebody's talking and somebody doesn't like what their opinion is, and they'll say something to the effect of, well, they think, their opinion is the gospel or something. And you've probably heard something along that line as a manner of speaking, which I think brings about one thing, and that is the gospel is the truth. The gospel is, absolutely, there's a truth to it. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And then we have that it's a message that is eternal in nature. In Revelation 14, verse 6, it references with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And so this matter of fact that Jesus was planned, God planned on Jesus coming, that God planned on redeeming his people through Jesus, is a message that's going to be relevant from now through eternity. It's not a message that is going to become irrelevant at some point in the future. It's always going to be relevant. Just starting off, there's power in the message, there's truth in the message, and it's a message that's going to stand and be relevant forever. So what kind of message is there that we can, kind of pick out of it? I think one thing would be is that it's a message of sacrifice. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That Christ bears that burden. That Christ came knowingly, willingly to sacrifice himself so that we might live. In Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Isaiah, move on from that. And then you think about this: why would he sacrifice? Why would he do this? Why would God put Jesus in this position? And that's because it's a message of love. In John 14, 9 through 10, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's one of those passages that Dave mentioned, one in Corinthians. I think there are a number out there where it just summarizes the gospel, this message, in such a concise and powerful way that I could never do on my own. I think this is one of those examples where there's so much packed in there, and yet it's a simple statement that can easily be understood. We can skip over to 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 and 3:17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So it's this message of love for the purpose of salvation. It's a message of salvation. Titus 3:4-7, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ephesians 13:14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. And there are a number of other passages that I could read along those same lines, but I like Titus chapter 3, but when the goodness of and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of something that we've done, but he did this essentially because he loved us, and therefore he saved us. It's a message of reconciliation, talking about the fact that even before we loved him, when we were in sin, he loved us, he had this plan for us, and that he would save us. It's a message of reconciliation in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. That this is a message that he brings us to him, that he reconciles us to him, that through Jesus he would be willing to call us his children, even though we are not worthy of it. It's a message of forgiveness. Matthew 9:6-8, but that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive us. Then he said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and went home. This is from the days in which Jesus was on this earth. People were coming to him. He had, at that moment, the ability and power to forgive sin. But certainly, through this plan of salvation, there is that forgiveness of sin that comes with being baptized. And so we have that message of forgiveness, even though we might do things that are contrary to what God would want for us, that would be in direct disobedience with what he wants for us, he would be willing to forget about it. He would be willing to erase it from his memory and forgive us. I think there's other things that we can talk about with it, with regard to the gospel. It's a message of inclusion in this world that is so relevant in our life in the world today. And yet, this is a message that's old. That God has called all. That He sent His Son so that all would be saved. That there's no one that's excluded from this invitation. In Matthew 22, we see the parable of the feast, where the king has called out everyone to come to the feast, and yet not everybody comes. But the invitation was for everyone. John 1, verse 12, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." In Mark 16, verse 15, there is the statement, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel," that all should be able and have the opportunity of hearing God's word. And which brings me to the next point, which is that message that's out here, that message of the gospel, is a message that's intended to be shared. Again, I just read Mark 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel." In Matthew 24, verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And with that proclamation of that message, with the fact that there's this message of forgiveness, of salvation, of hope, a message of truth, that message requires a decision for each and every person. Just as Jesus explained in the parable of the feast, people have a decision. Would they attend the feast or would they not? It was up to them. The king invited them. Why wouldn't they come? Acts 2, verse 41. "So those who received the word, his word, were baptized." This is talking about the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. And so those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. That there were those that decided to accept that message, and we would assume that there were those that decided not to accept that message. In Acts 22, verse 16, "And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." And so this message, the gospel, which is really more than just a message, it's more than just a belief. This is where I struggle with what is the gospel. I mean, it's God's plan. It's God's plan that was recorded, and now we understand it. And it merits us sharing this message. This message was intended from the beginning to be shared with everyone. But ultimately, this message, this gospel, it's a gift. It's, as we've said already, it's not something that we've done to deserve. It's something that God has given. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." That this gift is a gift of grace that God is willing to share with all men. And I think that's where, you think about what is the gospel, what does it mean? It's a message that's relevant to everyone, whether you're a Christian or not. If you're a Christian, of course you're going to acknowledge it and say, yeah, that's awesome. You're going to say, yes, this changes my whole perspective on life. This changes how I live. Because everything points back to this plan, to this proclamation that was given to us. And it's meant there to be something that transforms our lives in service to God. And so I am like 3 minutes away. I don't have really any room for comments, but I will say we've got like 60 seconds. Anybody take on something? If not, so this month we're going to be going through the gospel, and I think it's important for us to realize as we go through here, it's easy to forget about how meaningful this message is. This message is the reason that we're here today. Is coming to church just a social event, or is it something so much more? It better be so much more. It is so much more. This fact that we understand, do we really comprehend it, and do we really reflect on it the way that we should? Because it's a special message. It's a special message, and it should be treated as being special. And so when we think about, hey, I've got some great news, what's the thing that's going to be said next? Is it going to be, hey, have you heard that Jesus died? Have you heard that Jesus came? Have you heard that God has a plan, that God loves you? Some of it is very simple. Some of it is like kind of complex, like put all the pieces together. But some of those passages that make it so clear, can we share that message? And I think that's the point. As we go through the rest of this this month, talking about the gospel, it's relevant to us, and it's relevant to other people. But we need to make sure that we're sharing that message.